Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Going on the offense by buying defense firms.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. America's biggest defense companies are looking for takeover targets in Britain, according to the London Times. The paper reports Lockheed and Boeing are seeking acquisitions as a way of winning more contracts in the UK. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Boeing and Lockheed Martin, says the Times, are looking to spend up to $10 billion buying British defence companies. The spending spree has been triggered by the British government. Last year, the Ministry of Defence ruled that foreign-owned companies would be awarded key British defence contracts so long as the company was firmly based in Britain. The message could not have been clearer, says David Robertson of the Times.
If you're an American company, Boeing or Lockheed Martin, and if you want to win British military contracts, you have to have a British presence. You have to be employing British people, British scientists, British engineers. Otherwise, you have no chance.
But the influx of foreign owners isn't popular with everyone. The head of one of Britain's biggest engineering firms has warned that foreign companies are turning the UK into an aircraft carrier, an outpost for other countries, raiding profits here and not investing in the UK. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Speaking of defence contracts, three auditors who reviewed contracts for Iraqi reconstruction aid had some sobering news for Congress yesterday. During testimony on Capitol Hill, they said $10 billion had been wasted due to things like overcharges and unsupported expenses. They also warned more taxpayer money could be wasted with plans to send additional troops to Iraq. Senator John Kerry is co-sponsor of a bill to get tough on contractors.
We're going to provide steeper penalties for war profiteers, fuller disclosure of contracting abuse, no more contracts to companies that cheat us. You don't cheat and turn around and come back and get a chance to cheat again.
So far, the government has spent more than $350 billion on the war in Iraq and reconstruction. Shares in AMR, the parent of American Airlines, were up nearly 9% in after-hours trading last night. This after Business Week reported the airline might be a buyout target of a group including Goldman Sachs and British Airways. The magazine says a proposed bid would be between $9.8 and $11.1 billion. But Business Week says it's uncertain that a bid for the company will materialize. The records just keep falling for the Dow. Yesterday, it rose 23 points to 12,765. The NASDAQ added 8 points to 2,497. And the S&P inched up a point. It's at 1,456. Today, the FDA is holding a public meeting on new plans for the Prescription Drug User Fee Act. This program charges pharmaceutical companies fees to speed up the drug approval process. The act was passed in 1992. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH that there are strong critics of both the act and the new proposals.
The FDA and the drug industry jointly came up with the new proposals. The industry will pay an additional $87 million for the drug approval process. A third of that will monitor the safety of drugs already on the market. But Arthur Levin of the Center for Medical Consumers says this new agreement still falls short.
It needs more enforcement authority. It needs a lot more money. It needs to be held accountable for how well this new money is used to improve safety.
Levin says the industry shouldn't be paying for the agency that regulates it. And the public's lost confidence in the FDA because it approved unsafe drugs like Vioxx. He doubts if the new proposals can solve that problem. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
The Academy of Pediatrics this week encouraged expectant parents to donate their newborns' cord blood to public cord banks rather than for-profit companies. These banks are used as a kind of biological insurance and are growing in popularity around the world. Miranda Kennedy reports in New Delhi, where cord blood banks are attracting a lot of attention.
Vineet Damija and his wife Asta are hanging out at home this Saturday, entertaining their two-month-old son. They're recently married in their early 30s and eager to start having kids.
Because we, kind of married late by local standards, so we are happy that we had our first child, just catching up with the rest of the population. So I'd look at least two kids. She's probably not, because she's gone through the pain.
Asta had a hard pregnancy, partly because she suffers from a genetic strain of anemia they were concerned their son might inherit. So when friends told them about the latest medical fad in India, they decided to take part. They stored their son's umbilical cord blood. This blood contains stem cells, which can treat diseases like leukemia. Storing it is one of many health fads gaining popularity among India's fast-growing urban middle class, from genetic testing to nose jobs to extreme diets.
15 years down the line, technology may just fantastically improve. I think it's kind of an insurance that people are buying.
Vineet works for American Express. He admits that the $1,500 storage fee was steep for them. The American Academy of Pediatrics says there's no guarantee that the stem cells are useful for anything other than a handful of blood diseases. The chance of anyone in Vineet's family using his child's stem cells is only 1 in 10,000. But one of India's top surgeons, Naresh Trehan, hopes the stem cells will be able to treat common ailments like diabetes and heart disease.
There is evidence already that cord blood cells can be used successfully to treat many of these blood dyscrasias. And we believe that as we move forward, it may be find use in many other things, like even regenerating organs and stuff like that.
If so, he says, the chance of the umbilical stem cells being used would rise to about 1 in 15. He's leading the charge to popularize the trend in India. The first storage unit here opened 3 years ago.
That's our job, to bring to people of India the same what is available to anybody in the world. And there are thousands of these cell types available in the US, but in India, you can't match them to Indians.
That's because in order to match, the donor usually needs to be from the same gene pool. Patients can spend years looking for a donor. Trehan hopes to eventually get enough donors to build a public stem cell bank in India. But for now, Indian middle-class parents are banking their kids' cord blood on the tiny off chance they'll be able to use it themselves. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.